Well, today our title is Christ Came to Give Us His Life. Christ came to give us His life. I emphasize His life. Not a life, but His life. And I want us to bear that in mind as we open up the scriptures with regard to this. And turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. 1 to 8. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Christ came to give us His life. Now, to walk a total faith walk, we have to be clothed for this. We have to be empowered for this. You are not going to really be able to walk by faith, a total faith walk, unless you are clothed and you know with whom you have been clothed. Now, we all of us here today are wearing clothes covering our nakedness, which is a sign of the fall of Adam and Eve. And so we are clothed, and we take great pride, don't we, in our clothes, what we wear, what we buy, what we look for, and so on. Well, have we ever considered what our real clothing is, and that is to be clothed with Christ? Because that is ultimately what it is. And so to walk a total faith walk, we have to be clothed for this. And in order to be clothed for this, we have to be empowered. We have to be protected. Not only are we empowered, we are protected for this, but we have to be taught this. And this is the way that God has purposed, that in order for us to understand Christ in us, who is the hope of glory, to understand that he lives His life now in us, we not only have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, obviously born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we have to be taught this. And this is why it is important that we come to church, that we get the Word of God within us, so that we experience what has been given to us. That is the way it is. Now, you may experience God. You may experience something has happened to you, that there is a change. But all that's happening to us and has happened to us has to be taught us. And so often when we find that when we're taught these things, then we realize, we understand. I understand why this has happened to me. I understand now why I'm going through what I'm going through, or my experience last week and so on. This is why the Word of God is so important. This is why faith comes by hearing this Word. But we have to be empowered for this. We have to be protected for this. We have to be taught for this. We have to experience this. This life that has been given to us. And we notice here, as we've read this, and we're going to look at this, that Jesus isn't coming for the body. He's not coming for your body. He's not coming because of your looks, or your education, or how well you dress. He's not coming for any of that. In actual fact, I've got news for you. He's not impressed by any of it. We are. We're held by looks. We're held, driven by how we dress. Society bombards us with it. Magazines, everything you look at, it's all about this self-image. How you look, how you come over, how you appropriate yourself. We, in this last generation, are held by this. It's called vanity. And they always say that vanity feels no pain. How true it is. Yet I've read to you here that the Lord is not impressed by any of it. Not impressed by any of it. In actual fact, he's not coming for that. We are told that this body is decaying, is dying. Your body is closer to death than when you came in half an hour ago through the door. And if the Lord tarries, we die. So God is trying to tell us something, is he not? He's trying to lift our thinking, our horizon, our affections above those things that so drive us and control us. Is he not? And here it is, the Apostle Paul brings it. For we know that our earthly house, this tent, so he calls it a tent. It's the idea of a tabernacle, a tent. Now, what is our idea of a tent? Well, most of you think, oh, well, it's when we used to go on holiday and I couldn't bear it. You know, I used to hate going camping. To be quite honest with you, I wasn't very keen on going camping because I think my experiences of camping was mud, rain, you know, and cold. So that's my idea of tents, of camping. You may have other ideas. It may have been great. You loved it as a child. But the point is, it was temporary. The point is that you set it up and you knew you were not going to be living there for the rest of your life. So that was the fun factor of it, you see. And notice the word that he uses here. He uses, for we know that that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. So it's like a tent. It's put up temporarily, but it's going to be taken down. For we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now for us to begin to experience that, Christ has had to come and give us not a life, but his life. That makes a world of a difference. He's had to come and give us his life in order for us to begin to understand what this is all about. And when you have understood that it's no longer my life anymore, but my life belongs to him, I am his property, it is now his life who lives in me. As I have said so many times in the past, if I had mediums and spiritists sitting here and at this point addressing to them that, you know, Christ, the Holy Spirit now lives in you, they would have no problem in understanding that. Because mediums and spiritists give themselves over to that familiar spirit, that spirit guide, that demon. They know all about possession and being taken over. But when you come to talk to Christians about it, oh, you know. And yet that is exactly what the Holy Spirit has come to do. Yet he is different to demons. Demons take you over. They don't ask you whether you want them to take you over or not. They invade. They trespass. The Holy Spirit, he doesn't do that. He is a gentleman. He will come into your life if you ask him. He will take you over if you will ask him. And you are prepared to do it his way. There is the difference. But the idea of it is fundamentally the same. And so if that is our heart's desire, that is what we want. And remember, the Holy Spirit leads us to that anyway. Then you are going to start to find that something happens to you in your trials. You are going to find, as it says in verse 2, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from the shops down the road." Or the mail order catalogue. What are you laughing at? No, it actually says from heaven. Now, who can give us something from heaven? Man can't. Man can't. There's only one who can give you something from heaven, and that's God. Because that is where he is. That's where he resides. And so he says, if Christ is in you, that life, he lives his life, then you are going to start to groan. Now, what is this groaning? It's like the idea of intercessors who will groan right in the gut, in the bowel. And sometimes, maybe you younger people, you're going to come into this. It's not to put you down. But maybe you have seen this, or you have seen in your parents, or you have seen in your grandparents where some tragedy, or they have lost someone, and in that deep, deep grief, there is that groaning that takes place right deep in the gut. It is an emotion, it is something that you cannot put into words. It is so deep what is happening. And often the losing of a loved one, that's probably sometimes the nearest experience that you can put that to. And there's the idea of us being wanted to be changed. You see, when you experience God's love, Christ, his life in you, that groaning is that he wants you with him. And there's this idea of the bridegroom calling the bride. And there's that groaning. There's that desire for change. That desire to be with him. In other words, what you're really saying, I've had enough of this life. I've had enough of what goes on. I'm sick of the sin. I'm sick of rebellion. I'm sick of man cheating man and everything that goes on. But of course, we live in this life still, of course. Now, if the world complains and moans and groans about it, which they do, well, in a sense, how much more us? But we're not to moan and groan like the children of Israel did. But there is still within us, Lord, you know, how much longer? And what I'm seeing is happening, what seems to be so quickened to me by the Spirit now, is the same experience like with the children of Israel when they were in Egypt under those bond servants. There was that groaning to be released. And Moses was going before Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And the Holy Spirit is now so working, "Let my people go. Let them be delivered from this corruptible age that we live in." And you will pick that up if you're walking with God. If Christ is in you, you are going to pick that up sooner or later. You will. Because that is what he's doing. And so he goes on, and the Apostle Paul was experienced the same thing. "If indeed," verse 3, "we have been clothed, we shall not be found naked." Here we are. So here is this clothing. So you have another clothing. So don't think anymore in the sense of the clothes and designer stuff that you're wearing. There is a better clothing to put on. Christ himself. And that is what we should be looking for. That is what we should know that we're clothed with. Lord, am I clothed with you today as I face this world? As I go out to my work and so on. Am I clothed today with the true clothing? That is what I really need. That is what I must have on. Because if you have, you're going to experience that groaning. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. I've already just been telling you that. So that is why we groan, because we want our real clothing, the robes of righteousness, that bridal gown. That's what we're really aiming for and wanting. The bride who makes herself ready. And we've got a counterfeit bride that's making herself ready today, who's trying to do it in the flesh. And you can't do this in the flesh. This is a work of the spirit. It's a work of the heart. It's an attitude. It's having the right spirit. And then he says there in verse 5, Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. And that is why I've called this Christ came to give his life. He has come to give his life to us so that this may be a work done and prepared by God and God himself. And that is why it's not by might nor by power. It is by his spirit, says the Lord. You can't work this. You can't muster this up. This is no good idea. Oh, let's have a go at this. No, this is a sovereign work of the Spirit. Who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Because that's what it is. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that seal, is that guarantee that you belong to him and that you've got a stamp on you, soul, and nobody else can buy it. That's what it means. You've got to have that, as you will try this in the flesh. You will try to be holy. You will try to be righteous. You will try to put those robes on. But it will be a work of the flesh. And then we call that religion, superstition, man trying to please God, man trying to do it. It isn't. It's a work of grace. This is why I always keep saying to you, this walk is not about trying, it's being. There's a huge difference. Huge difference. And there's the guarantee, the earnest, the down payment. That is telling you that Christ has come and he's given his life, and your life does not belong to you anymore. Doesn't. If you have willingly paid the cost for discipleship, you have gone to the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Lord, my life isn't mine anymore. My life belongs to you. You do what you like with it. That's the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what Jesus had to sweat. He had to come to that place in his flesh when he said, my life, my flesh, isn't belong to me. It's not mine. It is yours, Father, and you do what you will with it. And the moment he settled that, they came for him and took him away. And what was the will of God for him? To put him to death in the flesh. That was the will of God. And what is the will of God for you and me? Is to put us to death daily in the flesh life. That is what his will is. And you die daily. So that the life of Christ who's now in you takes over. And that is ultimately what he's doing. And that is why you find in your trials that you're coming to the end of yourself. You can't take any more. It's like the whole thing's collapsing. Your whole life's collapsing. Everything you thought, everything you believed for, it seems as though it's all gone pear-shaped, completely wrong. What is he trying to do? To bring you to the end of yourself. So try to open your eyes that it's the life of Christ in you wants to live. And you getting in the way. That's all it is. And there's our fighting. There's the turmoil. And how the devil likes to use it. See, you've missed it again. See, your life's a failure. Here you go, doing the same old thing you've done before. Are you ever going to learn? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying to all of us today, this morning. Are you ever going to learn? That's how he growls. Well, just go back to him and say, I will learn because Christ lives in me. And all you're doing is making a load of noise. Growling. Of course your situation looks hopeless. And it seems to go from bad to worse, doesn't it? When you think it can't get any worse, it gets more worse. All it is that Christ, who's in you, can take over. Because there's no failure in him. There's no defeat in him. There's nothing negative in him. He cannot accept failure. He cannot accept defeat. Why? Because he overcame all things at the cross. And greater now is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You may have failed. You may have failed miserably. And you probably have. But the point is, who is in you? That's what you have to settle, because he hasn't. You see? And this is what the Lord's working with us. You're coming to a place now, and I've already told you how you'll know the experience of the life of Christ living in you. I've already said it, because you'll groan. This groaning experience. This groaning is that you can't accept this sin anymore that's been going on. You can't accept that injustice that you see and whatever it is. Not that you go against it, but you'll get in prayer. That groaning is because God's working a holy, separated life in you. That's what it means. That's what it is. And they're the signs. They're the signs of it. And so Jesus isn't coming for the body, but the life that is in the body. And what is the life that's in the body? Not you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now if he's coming for the life that's in the body, that new life, does the Father reject the Son? Never. So he's never going to reject. If the Son lives in you, then the Father has accepted you and sees you righteous, pure, holy. He's not going to reject you. He can't reject you because he cannot reject his Son. And his Son lives in you. Isn't it wonderful, this gospel? And if we die or are raptured, he's going to give us his life to us. Because it's not our life, but his life in you. So whether you live or you die, doesn't matter. He's going to give his life. He sees his life. And when he sees you, he sees his Son. He doesn't see you. That's why when you're baptized in water, you go down in death and you rise in resurrection. Which is all done in the name of Jesus. Let's turn to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. There is the perfect union. As there is a perfect union in the Godhead, there is no division, no schism, no separation. So the same with the body, the same with you. You are united perfectly in union with him. Therefore, nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. For I am in perfect union and harmony with him. And you will know if saints are by the way they live, because that cannot help but be given out. If you are in perfect harmony and unity with him, you will be with your brothers, your sister, and your enemy as well. It cannot help but flow out, can it not? And that is why the Bible says that if there's disunity and divisions, this is devilish and demonic. That's what it's called. And that does not come from the true unity and oneness that is to be found in the Godhead. It is a complete violation and opposite. You see? Because it does not glorify God. Let's look also in 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now we are called children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Here it is again, our union. When he is revealed, we are revealed. Because we follow the Lamb wherever he goes. We are in complete union with him. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Here's this oneness, this unity that we have. And nothing can separate this. And the Apostle Paul moved into that experience. And that became his experience. That's why he could write these things. And had that confidence. Did he have weaknesses? Of course he did. He was human. But what do you do with those weaknesses? Are you going to let those weaknesses dominate you and ever keep you in condemnation? Or are you going to take your walk this day, and what happened yesterday, what happened last week, is bridge under the water. It's water under the bridge, I should say. Pass through. Getting carried away now. Satan wants to hold you in your sin, in your areas where you've missed it, in rebellion, or hold you in the past. That is all he can condemn you with. So why does he do it? Why does he do it? Because he doesn't want you experiencing your union that you have with God. He's trying to separate it, sever it. He is the accuser of the brethren, I might add. And that is why we guard our tongues. We guard what we say. We look for the best. We believe for the best. We pray for the best. And if we see those weaknesses, then we take them before God. We pray, we intercede. We don't gossip and talk about it with other people. It's wrong. Because you should have the love of God in you to see the best in your brother and sister, that they walk in that unity, that oneness with God. Because what you may be seeing, or God's opening your eyes to, is trying to separate them from that union. And if they're separated, what life, what hope have they got? Do you honestly want, is there any of us sitting here today who can honestly say, I would like to see that person go to hell? God forbid. God forbid. I'll just say to anyone, you do not know what you're talking about. No, our heart's desire is that everyone makes it into the kingdom of God. Why? Because Christ came to give us his life. It's all about his life. Not about our lives anymore and those weaknesses. Yes, there are weaknesses. I have weaknesses. And I'm sure a lot of you see them and you are praying for me, because I don't see them all. We don't see those weaknesses in ourselves. Because it's about God giving us his life. See? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3 verse 4. Colossians chapter 3 verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. It's all the union we have with him. When he appears, we appear. When he's in glory, we are in glory. Yes, we're already seated now by faith in that experience. But one day we're putting off this immortality to put on mortality. That is the point. It's going to come off. What is within us, this body, the clothes we're wearing, or the mask we're wearing, whatever it is, that will not be able to hold it any longer. What is within us is going to take over. is going to burst forth. This is why we have the analogy in Romans 12, in Revelation 12, of the man-child being born, is soon to be born, to be birthed out of the womb. There's the same analogy. And so it's the same with us. And that groaning is how much longer, Lord? I can't be the only one that's feeling that. How much longer? Here it is. It's wanting to be released, to be set free. Now, who is putting that desire within us? Where is that coming from? It's certainly not coming from you. It's coming from His life that is in you. That is coming from God. Believe it or not. This will grow more and more that we desire to be clothed with Christ. And if I haven't convinced or influenced you or made you think today, then it probably will never happen. If I have succeeded in making you a little bit more restless, a little bit more desperate to be released, then I have done my job. I have done what God wants me to do. And I'm not going to feel guilty at all by it, because that is what this is all about. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, 23. Philippians 1, 21 to 23. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. The Apostle Paul has settled it. It is more needful for me to be in the flesh, in this earthly tabernacle, for the sake of the building of the kingdom of God and for the saints. Could it be that that's why the Lord tarries? Could it be that God is tarrying at this present time? Because it's still needful for us until the body of Christ, the bride, comes to her fullness? I think it probably is. There's elements of there. I can identify with this, what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He was in a fix, didn't know quite what to do. That's how he was walking with God. And that's how the Holy Spirit's going to get you to walk with God, if you want that. If you're prepared for Him to cut away, to work that in us. Because He'll do it. He'll do it. God will only work as far as you are wanting or willing to let Him work. Now, I've found sometimes, over the years, I've listened to some sermons, and sometimes they can sound a bit scary. You think to yourself, my, oh, I feel as I'm totally out of my depth here. My, what I'm hearing coming out of this, I don't know whether I can actually walk this. I don't actually know whether I have the affection for this. I have thought that. I battle that with things that I've listened to. But you know, I go before God and said, Lord, I'm going through this. I'm battling with this. I don't know whether I want to go all the way with this. But I'm asking you to help me. I'm asking you to put the affections, whatever it takes, how you work it, I don't know. But I'm asking you to help me. Because I've come up against a brick wall. And in the natural, I don't want to go on any further. And it's like, I don't know what to do. There's a few heads nodding, and I think the Holy Spirit has highlighted something today. Praise God. Well, if that's your experience, go before Him and say, Lord, please, only You can change me. Only You, You're a miracle working God, because I'm up against a brick wall here. I'm finding this hard. Well, if you're sincere. Now, is your Heavenly Father who loves you, is He going to turn His back on that and say, well, I meant to do that. I meant to get you to that place because I tried to show you it's not really in your heart, is it? Well, in one way, yes, he is doing that. But he's not doing it in that way cynically. He's doing it to say, I am your Father, I am your God, I am a miracle-working God, I will do it if you believe me. And you know, sometimes it's quicker than you think. And suddenly it's like you've broken through. And you want to go on. And that what was a brick wall suddenly has gone. It's disappeared. And your emotions and those feelings which so dominate us, they have changed. I can't understand why I'm feeling like this. But I am. Because you are honest with him. Jesus had to do the same. It's called the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a balloon come down. That's a good sign, isn't it? That's coming down and we're going up. Hallelujah. God will work this. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians as we bring this now to its completion? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I say amen to that, because that is a miracle. God says he can present us blameless. I'm glad he's God. I'm glad he's God. But the Apostle Paul has said that. He has said that. And that is what he will do. God can achieve this. And he's removing those hindrances for this to be achieved in our lives. His life and love in us, that has no doubts. The life of Christ in us, he doesn't doubt that. He's not surprised by that. He's not saying, God, I've got a task on my hand. I don't know whether I can accomplish this. He doesn't, because he's the one that wrote it. So I can rest in the fact that his life is in me. He is the one that wrote that about me. And he is the one that can do it. It's called that rest of faith. And one day you're going to find that's going to fall from the head to the heart, and you will rejoice and you will praise God for this, because he's going to do it. He's going to do it. So Christ came to give us his life, not a life or somebody else's life. Christ came to give you his life, and in his life abundantly. So remember now, in your weakness, it is his life in me that is overcoming. In your weakness, it is his life that is delivering me from those temptations, from that sin. It is his life in me that's reaching out to that person in the natural I cannot love. It is his life. It is a perfect union. You have been reborn into a perfect union with God. And whatever you feel, whatever the circumstances, whatever the devil's trying to throw at you, simply temporary. It's simply a mirage to what is eternal taking place in your life.